Okay, so we're on Daf Nun. So last night we learned that there's a Tosefet Ketubah. There's a minimum amount for each Ketubah, which is a mayor, mana time, 100 zoz or 200 zoz. I was going over Rav Shachter today, and he was saying like the 200, the 100 zoz is not half the 200 zoz. It's 1/16 of the 200 zoz, because one is using Kesef Tzuri and one's using Kesef Medina. Kesef Medina is 1/8 the value, and then it's half the thing, so it comes to be 1/16. So anyway, so the Mishnah said that a person could add on to it. So the language of the Mishnah is, it says on the second line of the Mishnah, Ratzalahosif, he wants to add on to it. So see back in the Gemara, 5 lines to the bottom, Ratzalahosif Ratzalah, it doesn't say he wants to write her, Ela Ratzalahosif. So it means that it sounds like that the Tosefet Ketubah is part and parcel of the Ketubah. He's adding on the Ketubah. He says, "Misayle the Rabbi Aibu and Rabbi Yanai that supports Rabbi Aibu and Rabbi Yanai. The Amar Rabbi Aibu and Rabbi Yanai tonight Ketubah kechtubah dami. The stipulations of the Ketubah are like the Ketubah." And the Gemara is going to give, I think, a series of 14 halachot where it'll be nogea that it's like the same thing. We went through it last night. Part of it, we'll go through it again tonight. So he says, "Nafkamina." The Nafkamina is. So the first nafkamina is if the wife sells her ksuba. The ksuba is like commercial paper, so it has a face value. You can sell it. So if she sells the ksuba, she's selling also the tosefik ksuba with it. Ulamochelet. If she's mochelet, if after she gets married, she says, "You know, dearest, I waive my ksuba," she's waiving all the money in the ksuba. And then lemoredet. Lemoredet is a woman who's in a state of rebellion from her husband. So the Gemara later on will go through exactly what this is. But the Gemara says, for example, and we went through this last night also a drop, but the Gemara in Samach Gimel says, the Mishnah says, according to the Tanakhama, is that if she's in a state of rebellion from her husband, so we start subtracting 7 dinarim for each week that she's in a state of rebellion. And Rav Huna in the Gemara says it's rebellion from Kashmir Shemitah, because she's rebelling from, doesn't have one of relations with him. And then Rabbi Yosef Ruchinina says from Malacha, from work. But anyway, the main idea is that if she's Moredet, then we're going to deduct the money not just from the Ikar Ksuba, but from also from the Tosef Ksuba as well. And then Ula Pogemet. Pogemet is where the woman impairs the Ksuba, in other words, she acknowledges partial payment of it. So if she acknowledges, let's say she acknowledges that she was paid off the Tosefet Ketubah, but she maintains the Ikar Ketubah was never paid off. And let's say he says, "I paid you everything." So she has to take a shua. If she's acknowledging that part of it was paid off, then she has to take a shua. So even though the part that she's acknowledging was paid off was the Tosefet Ketubah, and the part she's claiming now is the Ikar Ketubah, nevertheless, that counts as Pogemet Tumatan. She has to take a shua. And then Letovad. If she demands payment in Bezdin, so we said that terminates her right to Mizonot. So if she demands payment for the Tosefet Ketubah, even though she's not demanding payment for the Ikar Ketubah or anything like that, it still would terminate her right to Mizonot. And then Ulo Overet Al Dat. Overet Al Dat is when the woman, it's so the Gemara has, we'll have it later on. So Rashi points out, it's on Daf Ayin Beis. So 1 second. So the Mishnah later on Ayin Beis says, the following women, they're divorced and they forfeit their right to a ksuba. And he says, if they violate Dat Moshe and Dat Yehudit. So it means like the religion of Moshe and the Jewish religion. And what's Dat Moshe? That's Ma'akil Toshein Musar. She gives them food where Masrot haven't been taken from the food. Or his relations with him when she's in the state of being a nida. She doesn't, take off her fresh kala. And what's that Yehudi? Parua. She goes out without a shaitel. The Tova B'shuk and the Berin Kuladam. She doesn't behave in a significant way. Any event, so she's Ober al Dat, whether it's Dat Moshe or Dat Yehudi, she forfeits her right to a ksuba. And she would also forfeit the Tosefet Ketubah as well. All right, let me pause 1 second. Any questions on the first, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Any question on the first 6 items, which I just did? Everybody good? All right, let's keep moving.
Who
Okay.
determines whether she's Overet al Hadad?
I would assume the Bezdin would determine. In other words, that they would establish
Based on
the
Aiden?
Yeah, that's what I would assume, right? Okay, the top line in Hamad Aleph, then L'shevach. L'shevach, and again, we did all this part last night, but we're going over again. L'shevach is that, let's say the estate appreciated after the husband died or died. So the Gemara learns Masech Bechoro that a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim from the appreciation of the estate, but the same thing with a woman. She can't collect her ksuba from the appreciation of the estate. So she can't collect it from what the estate appreciated, so that would also apply to the Tosefet Ksuba. And then the Shvua. So the Shvua, let's see the Rashi on this for the Shvua. So the third white line in Rashi, but the Shvua, the whole meaning of the Shaykhali Shabbat Ksuba. In any situation where she would have to take a Shvua in order to get the proceeds from the Ksuba to go on, and a Fraj Shlobapana. Let's say she wants to collect the Ksuba not in the presence of her husband. Her husband divorced her, and now she wants to collect the Ksuba, but he's nowhere to be found. So she has to take a Shvua, and we'll see, explain in a minute. The Eidachad either she prua, or if one witness testifies that she's been paid off, or Manifrat Minachasim Shubadim, if a person, she's trying to collect her payment from the chasim that the husband had sold off during the course of the marriage. In other words, the ksuba is like an IOU note, and so he has a shibud on the chasim. So tosefet, if she's seeking to collect the tosefet ksuba under any of those circumstances, or she also has to have a shvua. In other words, if the Eidachad says it was paid off or the husband's not around, and she's trying to collect the Tosefet Ketubah, he also requires a Shvua. Then Rashi says, the Aval Gabdiku Gemet Bahai Klala Ika. Now, we had just a few phrases ago that the Mishnah said what Nafkamina was Pogemet Ketubata. Pogemet Ketubata was where she acknowledges that the Tosefet was paid off. So she has to take a Shvua for the Ikar Ketubah. So that Pogemet would seem to fit into this. So Yitzchak Lamin Kebehedya. So Rashi says, nevertheless, the Tana Mishnah had to mention Pogemek Tubatani, had to mention Yeshua, Lashwin Tibakima Tosefet, Mahani Lashpia Tibakima Tuba. In other words, that if she's, in other words, here it's teaching me if she acknowledges it's a partial payment of the Tosefet, she has to take Yeshua. Over there is saying, even if she acknowledges complete payment of the Tosefet, she still has to take a Shvua for the Ikar Ksuba. That I wouldn't know from this. Okay, moving further, and then I'll pause. V'lakotev kol nechasa l'banav. Then another nafkamina is that a person during his lifetime, he devises all of his property to his sons. He decides to give away all his property during his lifetime to his sons, and he gives off a portion of the property for the wife's Ksuba. In other words, he's removing all property from himself. He's taking care of it all. So he says, look, so once he gives a piece of property to the wife under that sort of estate planning method, and the piece of property is in satisfaction of her ksuba, it's also in satisfaction of her tosefet ksuba. And then the Mishnah says, legavot benar karka. And that is, and if you look at Rashi, he says in around the 15th hour line, a ksuba nigmate el karka. A ksuba is only collectible from real property, from the worst property. So ligabot ben karka means the tosefet ksuba is also collectible from karka and from the ziburi. And then the town says umen ziburi. We do that. B'chol zman shiva de'ravia. Then another halacha is that let's say the wife. Let's say the husband dies and the wife is living with the heirs, the yatomim. So then she's being supported. So she didn't ask for a ksuba, but there's no time limit on when she can ask demand her ksuba. But if she goes back to her father's house, then there's an interesting sort of statute of limitations to this, and that's 25 years. So she's got 25. In other words, the Chazal calculating that she might be inhibited, or she doesn't want to, press the payment of the ksuba when she's with the in her former husband's house, and lives with the yatomim. It's like pasnish, like they're helping her out and things like that. So she's holding off. So fine, when she can ask for it when she pleases. When she goes to the father's house, that excuse is pulled out the door. But they still have 25 years to ask for it. But then, if you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi. This he says. Around the 20th narrow line in Rashi, Tanan Bano say, we learn the Mishnah later on. He says, Kozuman Shibibay Bala, Beshachamunta, Govak Tubatel the Olam. As long as she's in her husband's house, there's no time limit on when she can make the demand for the ksuba. The Kozuman Shibibay Avia, so you over the Notel Yitomim, but when she's in her father's house, it means Yitomim, they aren't helping around. These Yitomim are the Mistam, the stepchildren. They're not helping her out or anything like that. The Lozani Notel, they're not providing with her, with food. Govak Tubatel Klape Shanim, she has 25 years in which to demand the ksuba. He says, "V'im shaka yeter altein yom echad." But if she delays one more day past the 25 years, machalta b'chein tosefet. That's considered a waiver of the ksuba and also the tosefet ksuba. And let's go back in the Gemara. We're almost done. And then the third white line, "V'l'ktuvet benin dichrin." And then benin dichrin. Remember, there's a clause in the ksuba, or it's construed at law. There's a clause that the children you have from me, they'll yarshin basically what's in the ksuba in addition to the rest of the estate. So they also yarshin the tosefet ksuba. Okay, so I think we had 14 items here and we went through all the nafkaminas. The main thing being that the tosefet ksuba is considered part of the ksuba. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. I'm losing it. She was an almana, so it's 100 zikikar ksuba, and tosefet is how much? Okay, so 500 total. Is there a question or a statement you're making? What do you mean lose? Lose under what circumstance? No. She can lose everything. She loses everything. In other words, if she goes to her father's house and doesn't demand the ksuba for 25 years and a day, Gornish, she gets nothing. Do they say something different there? Okay, that's it. That's the way it goes. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay? All right, let's get back further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara begins. The Gemara is going to have like five different machlo code between the Pumpadika people and the Mata Machasya people. So we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Ktuba Binin Dichrin. When it comes to Ktuba Binin Dichrin, which we discussed already, it means it falls in the Ksuba that her children, you know, are able to basically yarshin her Ksuba, which is, you know, property that she's bringing in, includes her dowry, other things. He says, Kompadita Amri, Lo Tarfa Mim Shabde. So now it means like this. If I'm a Baal Chov, let's say if I lend money to you and you're indebted to me, so once I'm a Baal Chov, I'm a creditor. Once I'm a creditor, so I have a right to collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. In other words, if you have 100 acres of land and I loan you $100,000, and then by the time it comes due, like 10 years later, all the land has been sold off, but I have a first right to attack that land. In other words, anyone who purchased that land was on notice that I had this shtar chov on you, because with the edim, it's considered to be that it's public notice. Now, the ksuba, you can look at how do we look at the ksuba? The ksuba is, in essence, a sort of a type of baal chov. Let's see what the Gemara says. Now, how does this relate to the ksuba benin dichrin? In other words, there's a clause in the ksuba that's covering, you know, whatever money you're promising me with the ksuba, so my children are going to be able to yarshin it, you know, a leg up over the other, you know, heirs. So Idmar, Kumpadin Dichrin, Kumpadita Amri, Lotar from Yushabde, Yartan Tanan. So the people from Kumpadita, this kingdom of Kumpadita, said that they don't have a right when they're pursuing the Ketubah Benin Dichrin to go to the Nechasim Mishubanim, the land that was sold off, because the terms of the Ketubah say, you know, Benin Dichrin, you have in Lichim Inoi, any male sons you have for me, in who Yartan Kesef Ketubatech, you know, they'll Yarshin. Yerusha is different. Yerusha is different than a Baal Chov. Yartan's not. The name Mata Machasya Amri, but the people from Mata Machasya said, Tarfam Yushabdi, that they can collect from the Chasim Mishubadim. The Chasim Mishubadim means land that was sold, but the person had a previous sort of security interest in it. So So they had a different version of the Mishnah. So one version is Yirtun, which means they'll Yarshan. The other is Yisvun, they'll take. So if it's Yarshan, so Yarshan don't have a right to ever go back or, you know, to take from the Chasim Shubarim. But, you know, if it's a Baal Chov, you do. So Hilchatelo Tarfa Mishabdi, Yartan Tanan. Gemara says they don't take from the Chasim Shubarim because we say it's Yartan Tanan. It says they'll Yarshan it. Okay? And Rashi quotes the language, three lines above where it gets wide, or four lines. Inun Yartan Tesk Tubatech, Yerusha, Lo Tarfa Lekuchot. Yerusha can't take from the Lekuchot. Okay. Any questions comes to us of what we just did? Everybody awake? Okay, let's keep moving. Now, around the eighth line on Nun Hominal, Metalfle Vino Beinaihu. Now, let's say the husband designated certain Metalflin. Metalflin could be, you know, a wardrobe, it could be anything of value that should be in satisfaction of the Tsuba. So Metalfle Vino Beinaihu, if the Metalflin are there, and now she wants to collect your ksuba below shvua. In other words, she could take that without a shvua, because the purpose of the shvua is rechoshesh shemat sarare apisei. We're afraid that maybe she's like double collecting. Maybe the husband gave her a bag of money in satisfaction of the ksuba, and now she wants to collect the ksuba again. So, but if the ksuba says that the ksuba should be collectible from metaltalim, from these movable objects, and the movable object is right here, then the Gemara is saying it's pretty certain that the husband didn't give her the payment. And so Bamela, she can take those without a shvua. He's dead, obviously. But let's say those movable objects, the metaphlim, are not present. We don't know what happened to them. If they were lost or something like that. Pumpadita amri below shvua. So the people in Pumpadita say that she could still collect the money without a shvua. In other words, the fact that they're not here. And Mela, since he designated those objects to satisfy the ksuba, they're not here. So again, it's reasonable to assume that we could say that it wasn't Sfarayat to say. But the people of Mata Makasi say now she can only collect it with a shvua. Now she can have to collect it with a shvua. So so let's see back in the Gemara. The Hilchah below shvua. The halacha is that she can take the property without a shvua under those circumstances. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, everybody good? All right, let's keep moving. Now, Yichila Ara Yarba'am Mitzarna. Now, let's say in the Ksuba, he designates a parcel land and he designates the boundaries of the piece of land. He says, green, in other words, in satisfaction of the Ksuba, I'm designating Green Acre. So when you want to collect your Ksuba, you collect Green Acre. And Green Acre is, you know, this the north border, the south border, the east, the west border. That's it. So he says, Yichila Ara Yarba Mitzarna below Shua. So if he's dead and now she wants to collect the shua, and we know Green Acre is right here, and he doesn't need a Green Acre, she can take Green Acre without a shua because there's no chashash that she's, you know, collected something else. But Bechad Mitzra, let's say he didn't make an adequate description of the property. He only gave one boundary of the property. So we don't know what the boundary is, how big it is, or anything like that. Pumpadita Amri below shua. So the people from Pumpadita said she can collect it without a shua. In other words, she'll have to collect sufficient land to cover the ksuba, but Bnei Mata Makasi Amri B'Shua. Bnei Mata Makasi say that no, she has to take a shua here because since this is so loosey goosey, the description, we don't know what he might have done. So if you look at the Rashi is around the 10th, very wide line downstairs. B'Shua, the came and look at Tavlar Bar Mitzarim, Ezu Smicha the Smokala, Rei Kmishlo Yiched. In other words, nobody has like reliance on such a designation because it was so right. In other words, he didn't define it, you know, properly. So we think that maybe he gave her some money or something like that. So it requires a shua. The Hilchah Kabbalah of shua. The halacha is it does not require shua. Okay. Any questions? Was that Fern?
Yeah. When you write a ketubah, it's not like a contract. He writes whatever he wants. In other words, if she prefers the cash, what happens?
Well, they have to come to a meeting of minds. They need to come to a meeting of minds. But
so it is a contract.
But when the ketubah is being written, so I assume they would discuss this ahead of time. But but the Gemara is saying, if he defined a piece of property with four, with, you know, boundaries on all four sides, and it's a clearly defined, you know, piece of property, and that's to be in satisfaction of her ksuba, so then, you know, then if that property's still around, so she can take it without a shvua, because we don't think he would have given her money to satisfy her ksuba, you know, besides.
I understand that. I think I'm asking the question of what's preceding this. In other words, do they sit down and negotiate?
People are sitting down, and he's saying, this is what I'm going to give for the ksuba, and the father is saying, I'm going to give this, and then the other is that, and then that's where it's going.
Oh, right. She's not negotiating. It's the father.
Okay. Well, I don't know where.
I get it.
I don't know what her role is, but, you know, I'm sure I'm sure she's also present in during the whole thing. All right. Let's see further. Now, all right. Now, another machloket. Again, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Nun Hamad Aleph. It says, Amar le'edim. Now, this is a different, this is not related to a marriage situation. It's just a different machloket between the Zakenim from Padita and the Zakenim from the name Mata Mathasya. So Amar the Edim, Kifuba Kabu Bahavubay. So let's say somebody says to Edim, I want you to write up this document, sign your names on it, and Bahavulay, and I want you to deliver the object which is described in the star. In other words, I want to transfer, let's say, a piece of property. I'm Ruvain. I want to transfer a piece of property to Shimon. And I tell to Edim, I want you to draft the star and sign your names on it. And then, you know, deliver it to Shimon. Tanumine. Now, if in addition to that, they do a kinyan with Reuven, in other words, the Edim could also do a kinyan with him. So they do a kinyan, Lotzarachim Lukebe. So they don't need to consult with him about whether to deliver the star or anything like that. In other words, once he does the kinyan, then that's a semen that the transaction is over. He wants to transfer, let's say, Greenacre to Shimon. And he goes over Edim. And he says, you know, I want you to, you know, be a witness, you know, that I'm transferring Greenacre to Shimon, and I want you to make a kinyan with me. And then, so once he does the kinyan, they don't need to consult him again about delivering the star. He says, lo kanumine, but let's say he didn't do a kinyan with him. He just says, I want you to draft a document that I'm giving Greenacre to Shimon. So Pumbadita Amri, lo tzarikam lukebe. Pumbadita say, they don't have to consult with him anymore. Once he says, draft up the star and sign it, it's presumably, and he wants them to deliver it. No, they have to consult with him because he could change his mind. Now, again, a shtar can function as a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya or both. So, in other words, so if there's no kinyan that's done, so in other words, the title can be transferred by the transfer of the, by the shtar. So, in other words, if Reuven is transferring Greenacre. So when he writes in the star, I hereby transfer, you know, Greenacre, and then that he says, and deliver the star to Shimon, and Shimon acquires Greenacre when he gets the star. So here he says, draft up a document and sign your names to the document. And he says, Bahadulin, give it to him. So do they have to, after they draft the document, do they have to consult with him again? So it's a machloket between Pumbadita and Bnei Mat Machasya. So Bnei Mat Machasya, they amlukebe. Hilchot ha'sarich amlukebe. The halacha is that they have to consult with the person before they give that star, because maybe he's changed his mind or something like that, and he decided he doesn't want to go through with this whole deal. Okay, any questions or comments or thoughts on anything we did? So I think there were four or five. How many did we have? We had... Wait.
Four?
Okay, four, yeah. So
Archie Girl says four.
Okay, so four. We'll go with four. So what's the question? Right. These are halakha where they had a machloket. And was each one like Pumbadita? Okay. Okay. All right. That was just... One second, let me just... Yeah, low car from your shop day, right? And then the top lay below shore, right? And below shore, right? And here we're saying, with you love Sarkham Luke Day. No, but wait. Yeah, no. But the last halacha is like Bnei Mat Machasya, right? Halacha number four is like Bnei Mat Machasya. Sarkham Luke Day, that's like Mat Machasya. So the first three were like Pumbadita, but the last one is Bnei Mat Machasya. Okay? All right, I'm going to move on unless anybody has any questions, comments, or thoughts. Everybody good? Okay, so now let's just refresh your recollection on what we did in the Mishnah yesterday. Let's turn back to the Mishnah on Nundalanim and Bays. So the Mishnah said line 3 of the Mishnah, in the Esteris, so it says that Armelo and Garsha, if the woman was widowed or divorced, Bayman or Isun, Bayman or Isun, whether after Irisun or Nisun, Govada calls. She collects everything, meaning the Ikar Ktuba and Tosefik Ktuba. Reb Laz ben Azaryo Meir, meaning Nisun, Govada call. If the after Nisun, she collects everything. Mina Irisun, Betula Gova Matayma Manamana. But if it's after Irisun, before Nisun, so according to Reb Laz ben Azaryo, she only gets the Ikar Ktuba, Shlo Katavla Elmanat Lakon. So meaning the Tosefik Ktuba was sort of a gift in contemplation of marriage. And since the marriage and Nisun never took place, she's not entitled to the Tosefik Ktuba. So that's a machloka between the Tanakam and Reb Laz ben Azaryo. And Reb Laz ben Azaryo, she doesn't cash in on Tosefik Ktuba unless it's after the Nisun. Okay, let's take lines from the Gemara on the bottom on Nun Hamad Aleph. Reb Laz ben Azaryo and Kulei. So Itmar, Rav Rebbe Nathan. Chadamar halachik Reb Laz ben Azaryo. One of the two, Rav and Rebbe Nathan, holds halachik Reb Laz ben Azaryo, which we just went over, that she doesn't collect. But Chadamar ain't halachik Reb Laz ben Azaryo. And one says not like Reb Laz ben Azaryo. So the Gemara says, "Tistayim de Rebbe Nathan hu damar halachik Reb Laz ben Azaryo." So the Gemara says, it's reasonable for us to conclude that Rebbe Nathan is the one who says that the halacha is like Reb Laz ben Azaryo. The Shaminim le Rebbe Nathan da azgil bakar umdana. Because we see elsewhere, we're going to see in a moment, that the Tana Reb Laz ben Azaryo says, we follow an umdana is like our assessment, our projection about what was in the person's mind. We'll see. So it means like this, when the person, you know, makes this agreement to give the Tosefik Ktuba. So the manamatayim, that's mitzvah halacha. He has to do that. That would click in after Erusin. But the Tosefet, so we're gonna try to, that's something he on his own did. So we're gonna try to you know, project what was his thinking. So he says here, two lines from the bottom, the Amar Rebbe Nachman, halachik Rebbe Shmuel Shizuri b'Mesukan, and we're going to have another halakha. What's meaning is Mesukan? Let's look at Rashi. Six lines from the bottom in Rashi. The Mesukan, Sukan means a person who's like in tremendous danger. He says, Masech Gittin, HaMefarish VaYosei B'Shayara. If a person is going on a sea trip, on a boat trip, which was considered very dangerous, Mizmach Hazal, in the Rashi, five lines from the bottom, he says, VaYosei B'Shayara, where he's going on a caravan, like the desert, but Omer Kitru get Ishti. He says, I want you, he's ready to leave on the boat, he's ready to leave on the Shaira, and he sees somebody, he sees two Adam, whatever, he says, I want you to write a get to my wife. Afa Pishto Omar Tanu, even though it's, so the halakha normally is, if a person says, Kitru get Ishti, they're only authorized to write the get. If he says, Kitru Tanu get Ishti, write and deliver the get, that's authorizing the get to be delivered and divorce the wife. So even though normally we say, if he doesn't say tenu, he's out of gas. But here he's leaving where he's going to be in a dangerous situation. Even though he leaves out the word tenu, the machon tir tushu behul nafsho, but we'll speak with more into barab. We assume, even according to the Tanakhama, that the person was so far tumult with the trip, he didn't remember to say tenu, but he meant to say tenu. He says, umeikara lichtavu u tenu nukave. And from initially, that's what he, it will be called the kitru tenu nikave. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, two lines to the bottom in Rashi. Shimon Shazuri Omer, Afam Asukan Hagothes. He says, according to Shazuri, even a person who's a ghost, his ghost is a person, he's on his deathbed, he doesn't look like he has too much more to live. And he says, Kitru get leishti, write a get to my wife. So we think that he maybe want to divorce the wife to avoid a Yibam situation or something like that. Behind Ubatar Omdan Daita, the Minan Loa Markifu, El Shiat Nu, Hoil Masukanhu, Lodakavin the Sakhikva. He says that, that in other words, when he said Kitfu, he meant Kitfu and Tanu, and because he was so Masukan, he doesn't, his intention is not to taunt the wife. In other words, why would a person say, right, I get to my wife when he's on his deathbed? But his intention was to say, give it to her. So it comes out in this Mishnah, the way the article was pointing out, like even the Tanakhama holds from a certain amount of omedas, because even the Tanakhama agrees that when a person's taking a sea trip or the desert trip, so there's a certain omedas, we're going to take it. But Rav Shmuel Shizuri takes it a step further even in the case when he's on the deathbed, which is a little bit further to, you know, to project into his thinking, we're going to go with that. Let's see back in the wait, give me just 2 minutes. I'll pause and we'll open up. Okay, close to the bottom. The Amar Rabbi Nathan, Lachos Shemizurim Sukan, Lachos like Shemizurim Sukan, and then turn page on the top line, on Amud Bey's the top line. He says, with Trumat Maiser Shel Demai. And the halacha is also like Rabbi Shemizuri concerning Trumat Maiser of Demai. This halacha is, I'm going to go through it, but it's totally unrelated to what our sugya is discussing. So Trumat Maiser Shel Demai, let me see it outside, then we'll do it inside with Rashi, and then we'll go over it again. So Trumat Maiser Demai, so it means like this, that Demai is when you buy Tikua from the Yamei Ha'aretz, from the people who aren't so observant. So all the Yamei Ha'aretz would take Truma, but and most of them would take Masrot, but Amir Animsa, there was a quantifiable minority that would not take Masrot. So if you buy the Tavua from the Yamei Ha'aretz, you're obligated to take Masrot. Now, the case is a person, let's say he's a Levi, he bought Tavua from the Yamei Ha'aretz. And then in the Tavua, he separates out all the Masrot. One Maser is Maser Rishon. He can keep that for himself. But from his Maser Rishon, he has to separate Trumas Maser. In other words, from the Maser Min HaMaser. Then in other words, the Levi, when he gets his Maser, he has to separate 10% out to go to the Kohen. And that's Trumas Maser. So he separates out Trumas Maser, but then the Trumas Maser falls into the Hulin. It falls into Hulin. And here, not enough to have Bitul. So if we're going to say we're going to treat this like real Truma, he's going to suffer a financial loss because he'd have to sell it all to a Kohen, but he would get much less money for it. So here, according to Rav Shimon Shazuri, we can rely on the fact, and we can say that that the Yama, so he says you should go back to the Yama Aretz and ask the Yama Aretz, did you take Masrot? And even though the master, the Amaris is normally not so reliable, here if the Amaris says, I took Masrot, he can rely on him because that there's only a Din Rabbanan, and most of the Yamei Ha'aretz do take Masrot. And here was the Hefse Meruba, so he can rely on that Kula to do it. That's what Rav Shimon Shazuri says. Now, let me mention Agav Orecha. Rashi mentions one other Kula in here that it comes up in the Sugya over there that if it's on Shabbos, so he can, Bechal is a separate halacha. On Shabbos, he can believe the Yama Aretz, and he says, I took Masrot away. So Rashi learns he can believe the Yama Aretz because of Oneg Shabbos, is the way Rashi learns, because of Oneg Shabbos, that there's special Kula. But Tosos learns it's because of Eimat Shabbos, the fear of Shabbos is on the Yama Aretz. And it's interesting, in other words, like on Shabbos, it's a whole different, you know, feeling that people have. And immediately the idea being that the Yama Aretz would not lie on Shabbos. Okay, let's go back, and then we'll get to your question all day. So, again, we have a machlok between Rav and Rabbi Natan, and one said the halacha is like the Tana of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and one said not. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that when the man ends his Tosos Ketubah, so before the Nisuin, she does not get it, because he, Mistama, man, we think in his mind, did not intend that she should get it before the Nisuin. That's what we think. So Rav and Rabbi Natan have machlok, that we don't know who says what. One of them says halacha is like Rav Azariah. One says not. The Gemara says Mistam is Rabbi Natan, who's one who says like Rav Azariah, because I see from Rabbi Natan elsewhere by this mistukam, by the person who's like on his deathbed, if he says write a get to my wife, we can enter his omid das that he intends to do get. So we think that Rabbi Natan is the one who says that. Here also, we're going to go in the person's mind and make a projection as to what he wanted. What do you want to say? It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the circumstances. Right, it depends on the circumstances, right. Well, I'm saying it, but it could be on the circumstance. he's loaded. He's, no, you have a problem. I don't know what he wants. He's decided something else. But anyway, but the idea is so it could be commendable. It depends on the circumstance. Anyway, but that's the idea. Okay, let's go back in the Gemara and let's seal the deal here with this. So now, okay, everybody good so far? Okay, I want everybody to stay awake and let's all focus and fight off the Yetzirah. Okay, now. Now the Gemara says Rab lo azio batar umdina. So the main idea being that Rabbi Nathan is going to be focusing on the umdana, on the projection, and Rav is not focused on the umdana. So Rav would say, like the Tanakama, that the wife gets the whole ksuba. So the Gemara says, Rav luaz gabakar umdana. Doesn't Rav also like look into, you know, projection? By Itmar, it was stated, mana shchivira tuktuba kinyan. Now, this is a little tricky, but let's go through it slowly. So, matana shchimira is when a person's on his deathbed, and shchimira, like I was talking to Rabbi Sablovsky, don't say this is like you're ready to die, like, you know, soon. Shchimira is ill, but, you know, but not as dire as the ghost says. So, matana shchimira, so Chazal teach us, divrei shchimira kichtubin kumsurim dami, that the shchimira doesn't have to do a kinyan. He directs that a sabah should be written up. So his words is like it's been given over and it's delivered, but one side with the shchimira, he's got to die. If he recuperates and gets out of the bed, then all bets are off, and then there's no matana with the shchimira. So there's a plus and sort of a minus with the shchimira. And then a matanas bari, if I do a kinyan as a matanas bari, so that's it. That's a kinyan. It doesn't matter whether I recuperate or I don't recuperate. So here we have somebody who's shchimira. He's an ill person, you know, on what he thinks is his deathbed, and he does both. He directs it in Matan Shchemira written, but he also directs that a kinyan be done as well, and that the shtar reflect the kinyan. Okay, by Itmar, Matan Shchemira Shekhtuba kinyan. There's a Matan Shchemira. So Matan Shchemira, the language for Matan Shchemira, let's take a look at Rashi on this. Around eight lines above where it gets wide. Matan Shchemira, Eina Shricha kinyan, Shtu Chamish, the Rav Tehuruk Sumim, to Allah. In other words, this is Takanas Chachamim. The Chachamim have, you know, the Koach, Hefker, Bet, and Hefker. The Chachamim can say property belongs to A or B as they choose. And they don't want people to be like, you know, all, you know, in a bad frame of mind when they're on their deathbed. They want to be able to be calm. So they give them a special cooler to do this. Bim Ketuba Kinyan. Okay, now we'll see. All right, let me do this back in the Gemara. So he writes the shtar, but then he also directs that a kinyan be done, and a kinyan is done right there, and the shtar reflects that a kinyan is done. Okay? So has he improved the situation or made it worse? And we'll see in a minute in the Gemara. So we might talk about this. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Va'idmar, Matan Shchemi Rash Tuba Kinyan. But they Rav, Mishmei the Rav Amri, the base manager of Rav, they say the name of Rav, are Kaveya Atrei Richshein. That he's enhanced the recipient's rights. In other words, if you're the recipient, you're in a super good situation, is what he's saying. Because if the person dies, it's mine. And if he doesn't die, it's mine. In other words, I, as recipient, get the best of both possible worlds. That's the way they said in the base manager Brown. He says, Shmuel Amar, lo yadana ma'i dunba. Shmuel says that I don't know how to judge this case. Bebei Rav, Mishpeid Rav Amri, Arkvei Tvei Rifshei, Hareik Matana Bari, Hareik Matana Shchimira. It's like a gift from a healthy person. It's like a gift from a Shchimira. Hareik Matana Bari, Dimamad, and Yacholach Zorbo. If he recuperates, he can't retract the gift because he made the Kenyan. Hareik Matana Shchimira, Kimamar, Halva'ati Laploni, Halva'ato Laploni. But it's also like a Matana Shchimira because Matana Shchimira, he can give over, let's say, a debt that people owe him money. So I can give over the right to the debt, even though, in other words, that's not acquirable with a normal kinyan. I can't do a kinyan sudar for a debt. In other words, if Shimon owes Reuben $100, I can't do a kinyan sudar, you know, for money. In other words, that's basically money. I can't do a kinyan sudar for money. Kinyan sudar doesn't work for money. So here, he's enhanced the buyer's rights because whatever he gives the buyer, whether it's a chov, the buyer's got it, or if it's a piece of land, the buyer has it, and each one, the buyer has it in the best way possible, meaning that if the person recuperates, so the buyer will have land regardless because he did the kinyan, so he has it that way. And then with the debt, so he can take the debt whichever way is better for the recipient, which would be through Matan Shchimira. If he recuperates, then he doesn't have the debt, but he has both. So let's just see for a minute. He says, Shmuel Amar, lo yadana ma'idunba. Shmuel says, I don't know what to judge. Shema lo gamar la haknato lo b'shtar v'inshtar la chamita. Shmuel says, maybe the grantor is thinking that he's going to do it with
In other words, he's writing the Matan Shkemira and he's putting a kinyan in the shtar. Maybe he's thinking that the kinyan will be effective after he's dead, and you can't have a kinyan that's effective after you're dead. So instead of being enhancing the rights of the buyer, he's like shot the buyer in the foot, and is the worst of all possible worlds. So let me just see the Rashi on this, and then we'll go over and then we'll talk. One second. So now let's go back to the Rashi, Matan Shkemira, which we started before. 10 lines above where it gets wide. He says, Ain't a street of kinyan. So you don't need a kinyan if you're doing Matan Shkemira. If he did write a kinyan, the key is not that the kinyan is written there, the key is that the kinyan was done. So Rab says he's put the buyer on like two horses. He says, In other words, he gave like sort of two rights or two routes. How the buyer, how the recipient can achieve his property. He says, so it contains the language that says language when he was ill and in bed. So putting in that language gives like the kofos of shchimira. Like the kinyan shchibra can annoy gil babari in that time by kofbari. And then he put in that a kinyan was done. So he's giving the recipient the kofos of a bari. Bahashtam afarishla, and now the Gemara explained, Bahashtam afarishla who? Kof matnat bari, kimamad mecholyo, eno chozirim matanato, mashayin kim shkimira. So the nachkamin between a shkimira and a bari is, if a shkimira recuperates, so all bets are off, but if matan is bari, so then that's it. He says, varek matan shkim. So in that way, so if he wrote Green Acre, I'm giving Green Acre to Shimon, and then does a kinyan with it, so then even if Reuben recuperates, so Shimon can have Green Acre. Break matan shkimira, shame matan bari, afilu b'kinyan, shem ketuv, shem ketuv matan azu halba, tishol beit the ploni, natun the ploni, ze halba tol the ploni, milu gabi bari, mishem kinyan lo kani be, shein mat be, anikta b'chalipin. So let's say I want to give over my debts to Shimon. So if I'm alive, I can't do a kinyan sudar to give over my right to collect the debts to Shimon. He says, El agav karka, kinyamin ba'azahav. If I do it with a kinyan agav, then I could do it. Zeh kana imeit lo machmat kinyan, lo machmat divrei shkemira. So here, the recipient could get that through divrei shkemira. And, all right, let me just do one more Rashi, then we'll summarize, then we'll go on. He says, 8 lines from the bottom. Shem lo gemar b'libo l'hachnato el b'shtar, maybe he, within Shmuel. So again, so according to Rav, we think that the grantor intended to enhance the rights of the recipient. According to Rav, so he's writing Matan Shkemira, and he's also doing a kinyan, and he's trying to enhance the rights of the recipient. That's the way Rav is viewing it. And Shmuel is thinking he messed up the recipient because he's trying to maybe, have him acquired through a kinyan, but after he's dead, and you can't acquire it with a kinyan after you're dead. Shemalu Gemar Lugolak Tolbashtar.
Okay,
fine. So we have that basic idea. Okay, now, so the bottom line being that Rav also is sort of doing it kind of like an umdana, like a projection. What's in the grantor's mind? In other words, well, what did the grantor have in mind when he did these sort of like two routes? He did the Matan Shchemira and he did the Kinyan. And Rav says his intent was to enhance the rights of the buyer. So we see that both Rabbi Natan and Rav both use a type of umdana. So how could we say before when it was a machloket, who is the one who says Allah is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Why is it Mukhraf that Rabbi Natan is the one who holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and not Rav? And let's do Nun Vav Min Aleph, and then we'll pause, and then we'll go on. El Tarvai Wazli Batar Umdana. The Gemara says, no, both Rav and Rabbi Natan do follow Umdana. Ed, you following? He says, both Rav and Rabbi Natan do follow an Umdana. Manda Mar Halakha Shapir. So the one who says Halakha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah follows. He's doing an Umdana that he never intended to give the Tosefet Ketubah until after Nisuin. Manda Mar Ein Halakha Hachanami Umdana Dai Tahu. The one who says halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is that the woman gets the whole enchilada, even if she's divorced before nisuin, is also following omdan daita. He put that in because he wanted to, like, increase, like, the endearment one for another. He wanted, everything, like, we're all in love with each other, and here, dearest, here's this. I want everything, to be fantastic. So he says, well, he carved a leidaita. So it worked at the moment when he did it. So is he carved a leidaita. After that, everything went south, and then he divorced her or he died. But the thing is, it did fulfill what his intent was. But his intent was, Kirav Das. Okay, let me pause for 1 minute, then we'll go on. Who's got any? So the idea is, we had, again, I'm just repeating, but again, we had in the Mishnah the halacha of Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Reb Elazar ben Azariah says, if he dies or divorces her before the Nisuin, she doesn't get the Tosefet Ketubah. And the Tanna Kamma disagrees with that. So Rav and Rabbi Natan disagree whether the halacha is or is not like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara foresaw that there must be Rabbi Natan is the one who holds like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, because we see Rabbi Natan, it goes after the Umdana by the Masukan, by the person who's, on his deathbed, and he says, Kitvu get l'ishti, we say, he meant Kitvu and Tanu get l'ishti, give her to it. But the Gemara says, Rav also holds from Omid Das, because we see by the person who's a Shchiv Mira, and then he writes this sort of star, and there's a kinyan with it, so Rav says his intent was to enhance the rights of the recipient. So the Gemara says, you're right. In the end, Rav and Rabbi Natan both go into Omid Das. So the question is, what is the person's thinking when he did the Tosefik Suba? Was his thinking, it's in contemplation of marriage, and only then do I want it to be effective? Or maybe his intent was, I want to increase the endearment with my kala right now. I want everything to be lovey-dovey. And it was effective, that, at least for that hour. Then maybe the next day, not. But it was effective. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Anybody? What? Say again, what? So you mean the halakha? So the mission, no, we do hold like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. We hold like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Or we're coming up to it. The Gemara is going to come to it. We're not up there yet. We're going to get to it in a minute. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara, and then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll do a story or two. Okay. So now the So on line 4, Anun Vav Min Aleph. Line 4, Anun Vav Min Aleph, 56a. Yativ Rav Chanina coming to Rav Yanai. So Rav Chanina was sitting before Rav Yanai, the Kamar Halacha Halaz Ben Azariah. So now Rav Chanina, so the Bach has the word Kara. Rav Chanina was like an expert on Sukkim. So Rav Chanina, he's sitting before Rav Yanai, and he said the Halacha follows Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And we went through Rav Elazar ben Azariah just a moment ago. He says, like, she loses the Tosef Ketubah if she's divorced or he dies before the Nisuin. Amar Lei, Rav Yanai said to him, put Karik Barach Lebra. In other words, go like teach your psukim outside, meaning like the way the Arsu said, like stick to your psukim, stay away from the halakha. He says, ain't halakha Reb Elazar ben Azariah, because I hold halakha does not follow Reb Elazar ben Azariah. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abdimi, Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, and here Rabbeinu is Rav. He said, in the name of Rav, halakha Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav says halacha follows Reb Elazar ben Azariah. That would seem to indicate that Rav is the one who held like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel halacha Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So Shmuel also says halacha like Reb Elazar. So Rav and Shmuel both hold halacha like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Nachman today Amar, but Rav Nachman himself, and he was a big postake, he says ain halacha Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Uneherdoi mishmei Rav Nachman Amri halacha Reb Elazar ben Azariah. But the Neherdians saying the name of Rav Nachman halacha does follow Reb Elazar ben Azariah. The Afal Gam's lot Rav Nachman. Even though Rav Nachman is like pronounced a curse, but Amar called Dayana to die in Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Haki Bahaki Tebe, he said that like if a dying passes like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, this and that should occur to him, which is not good. Afilu Halachi, Halachi Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Gemara says Halachi is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, but Halachi Lamai is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Gemara concludes, and Rashi says, this is from the Talmidim. You look in the second wide line of Rashi upstairs, Hashas Kapasi, Shekach Ninu Begamu Bnei Yeshiva. In the yeshiva, they voted that the halacha is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So it means that, indeed, if he dies or divorces her before the Nisuin, so she wouldn't get the Tosefet Ksuba. Okay, unless some questions, I'm going to do some other things from the sheets. Okay, some things from the sheets. Now, he has a little bit here. He's talking about the Tosefet Ksuba. This is like, I think, like halacha lemaisa, because it's something that comes up pretty frequently. I want to go over it. If a girl sinned before her marriage, is no longer psula. So it means, unfortunately today, a lot of young women aren't quite, prim and proper. And let's say she's not a betula at the time of the marriage. So she's only entitled to 100 zuz in the ksuba. See, the part that's tricky is that, let's say you're a rabbi and you're doing the, you know, you're handling the ksuba and everything. So the people don't want the ksuba to list that she's, you know, anything but a betula, you know, and but she, but she, but she's not necessarily a betula. So how do we handle this? So we'll see in a minute. So the Big Day Yom Tov writes that even if the husband is willing to pay 200 zuz, it's proper to penalize her for her misconduct and write her a ksuba of only 100 zuz. Ligros Moshe, that's from Moshe Feinstein, disagrees and maintains that if the girl repented and her husband is willing to write her a ksuba of a basula, 200 zuz, so that her sin should not be publicly revealed, it is permitted to do so, since the Mishnah says it is permitted to increase the ksuba. So it means that the way I remember this tshuva, I didn't see it today, but the way I remember the tshuva is Ramosha was asked this girl, and apparently the girl had done tshuva and everything like that, and they didn't want, you know, to have embarrassed. So I think Ramosha said that he can write 200 zuz in the ksuba, and the way I remember it, he says, you don't even have to tell the rabbi who's Masada Kiddushin what the true facts are. So it could be, so just only the husband and the wife will know what's going on. Right, well, no, yeah, the only thing is, like, here's the thing. Now, we'll see. The Shari Ora adds, even though we generally follow the ruling of the Mordechai to not increase the basic ksuba payment, in such a case, see, it's not the Tosefet, because it's the Ikar ksuba. It's saying the Matayim goes to her. So the Shari Ora is that even though we generally follow the ruling of the Mordechai do not increase the basic ksuba payment, in such a case, in order to spare the girl embarrassment, is permitted to follow the opinion of the Ran and write ksuba of 200 zuz, even though the basic ksuba for a non-betula is only 100 zuz. Now, the Igros Moshe indicates, however, that writing a ksuba betula for a non-betula is forbidden if the man whom she sinned with was a non-Jew. So let's say she slept with a guy, but he wasn't Jewish. So now, she's always passel for marrying a Kohen. In other words, she's passel. Now, the ksuba, you know, besides that every man needs, yeah, it can't be with your wife without a ksuba, but the ksuba is a vital document because any rabbi, if the marriage, something happens, let's say husband number one dies and she wants to remarry, the first thing the rabbi will ask is, do you have a ksuba from your first marriage? May I see the ksuba? So you don't want to have a ksuba that appears that she is kosher to a kohen. You want to have a ksuba that's going to be on its face apparent that she's not kosher for a kohen. This is where it gets a little dicey. So he says, such a girl is classified as a zona and is forbidden from marrying a kohen. If her husband were to give her ksuba tula, it would conceal her sin, and people will never know that she's a zona. And upon being widowed, there's concern she might marry a kohen. So the way I remember, so first is the amount of money would be different, and then the language in the ksuba would be different if she's had relations with somebody. So either it would be like bu'ulta, well, there's another language that they have that they put in, but there has to be a red flag in there, you know, so the rabbi will know next time that this woman is psula from marrying Kohen. Okay, now, I'm sorry that you were...
Is there a chiyuv to read a ketubah at a chuppah?
So, okay, well, I'll come to the reading in a second. I don't know why you say it's not done today, Michael. No. But before he gets there, he's met with both of them, and they've discussed everything ahead of time. He should ask some questions ahead of time. Fern was asking me about the reading of the ksuba. Okay, so in terms of reading the ksuba, I don't think it technically is a requirement to read the ksuba at the chuppah, but traditionally it is. Sometimes what they'll do is, if there's language in the ksuba which is embarrassing to one of the parties, they'll sort of like, you know, maybe they won't read it so carefully or something like that, so that people won't know that, well, what's in the ksuba. Okay, now we have just one more minute, and then let me just...
What language in the ksuba could be embarrassing to the man?
To the man? I don't know. Who said anything is embarrassing to the man?
No, you said it could be embarrassing to the parties.
I'm saying the man is embarrassed that the wife, you know, has got like that. You know what I mean? Like that. Okay, now... All right. Well, it's getting late. There's a piece over here. We spoke about Umdana. So I don't know if I'll go through the whole thing, but he was asked, like, let's say it's stuck that collects money for, you know, staka A, and then staka A, you can't go through with it. Can you be mishane to staka B? So the Minchas Yitzchak has Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss. He was asked from a staka collector whether funds he collected for a particular institution may be used for another institution that is similar to the first without consulting the donors. In other words, he wants to divert the money. Minchas Yitzchak cited the Shulchan Aruch rules that once money has been collected for one purpose, it may not be redirected for another purpose. Certainly when there's a strong presumption, umdin ad-demucha, money was not given to be used for another institution, is prohibited to redirect those funds. This is a strong presumption and has a lot of weight to how a person collects money from someone who has possession of money. In other words, umdin ad-demucha is an important area in halacha. Now, the Afraxta de'anya also addressed this question. There were once members of a pious but impoverished family who were taken into captivity. As funds were being collected for the ransom, the captors set them free. And the question was, what should be done with collected funds? So they collect $100,000 to get the family out from captivity. And then whatever, the captors release them. So he says, one could argue that now that the funds are no longer needed for the midst of redeeming captives, the money should be returned to the donors. But one could also argue the money should be sent to the newly released families, since they are in any case impoverished. After a lengthy analysis of the relevant issues, Afraxta Da'ani concluded that generally the money should not be sent to the newly released families without consulting the donors. However, in this case, where the potential recipients are Talmidei Chachamim, and specifically, since he knows many of the donors, he has no doubt they would want the money to be sent to these families to help them overcome their struggle with hunger. Although it is true that had the donors been approached in the first place to donate money, the sustenance of these families, the donations would be lower than the amount they gave, thinking that it was to redeem captives. Nonetheless, once the money was given, it would certainly waive their right to take back the money. So in general, this is not. In this case, he thought it was okay. You know, this only happened to me once in my life where I sent money and they sent me a letter and saying that the person had died and they said they wanted to use it, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, let me just end the recording. One second.